Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back to the Rier on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Till, a show dedicated to discussion involving the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Rier alongside my co-host, Evan Rier. Evan, it's been a minute, but hey, we're heading into the second full week of training camp for the Jacksonville Jaguars. There is, I think, several reasons from optimism, some of the buzz coming from training camp to this point, and still some reasons for concern. We're going to kind of work around the football team in terms of things that have stood out to us here as the Jacksonville Jaguars get ready for those Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday night at the bank. Man, what about that, Ev? Maybe you think we see Aaron Rodgers on Saturday night?
Snowflakes chance in hell, right? I mean,
doesn't he need to work with his guys, though? I guess that's overrated. I mean, these teams have plenty of time in training camp. But, I would think that Mike Tomlin's pretty comfortable with what he knows about Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and, you know, maybe some of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, don't get it twisted. You might even have a point. He might, you know, need the reps out there. But
just a series, you know.
I know Mike Tomlin's a pretty serious dude, the kind of guy that if he asks you to do something, you know, 99% of guys in this league are going to say, yes, sir, I'll be out there. Aaron Rodgers is one of those few that probably would laugh in Mike Tomlin's face if he said, no. Hey, Aaron, we need you to suit up.
Two alpha types there. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But I'm stoked. It's so nice that, we're finally getting into some actual football, you know, preseason, but still actual football is happening.
Is it more that you're anticipating the season, or are you just optimistic about the Jacksonville Jaguars at this point? Or are you still kind of in that more excited about the season being just up the street now? And maybe not quite as much ready to sort of invest totally emotionally in Liam Cohen's first team in Duval.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more just about I've missed, you know, football. Yeah. I don't, you know, I'm not, it's not a case of, you know, oh, we're building something here. It's going to
13 and 4. Yeah.
Yeah. But there is something to be said of, you know, at the end of the day, the offseason has been positive and, you know, for the majority of the time, very few little, you know, issues, maybe an injury here or there over the past week or two, which, you know, we might talk about a little bit, but really, you know, there is reason for optimism. There's no reason to be a worrywart, you know, right now. However, we've been hurt before. So it's less about, you know, like, oh, well, you know, like I said, there, it's not about we're building something. It's more just, all right, let's actually see what we've got. Let's actually see what the, you know, the quantity is, what the quality is.
Yeah, it's you can say this for the Jags in drafting Travis Hunter. They've been a top 5 team in terms of buzz
yeah,
since
for sure.
the draft in late April. So How that has translated onto the field has been interesting to follow. By all accounts, he has been what they had hoped he would be. Most importantly, to this point, knock on wood, he has remained healthy and sort of alternating between offense and defense. And kind of with him, I think it's interesting to think about other guys at corner, other guys at wide receiver, because how some of those other guys step forward or maybe don't step forward could very well impact how much we see him at wide receiver, which is his primary position, and or corner here as we move through the early stages of the season. And it sounds like really, you know, you knew Brian Thomas Jr. was the number one and Travis Hunter would be the two, but De'Ami Brown, talk about a free agency acquisition that has the makings of being a big time home run for James Gladstone, sort of the anti Gabe Davis from a year ago. Sounds like De'Ami Brown has been very impressive, which helps in terms of what you could put out there with your three wide receivers with Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. And also how that's probably impacted Trevor Lawrence. Although this run game element that we've anticipated with Liam Cohen coming in, it's been a big part of things too. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We'll look to be rejoined by Evan here in just a minute, but yeah, as promised, there's been a emphasis on physicality, the run game. We haven't heard so much or seen so much with Trevor, this sort of level of exciting or dynamic play. But I've said since last season, that's not what you need Trevor Lawrence to be. You just need Trevor Lawrence to be a guy that is supported in large part by the run game. Sounds like Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne, the young backs are, you know, developing in a way that you would like within this offense. The offensive line too, as you look at that with Trevor Lawrence, and you know, Patrick McCurry hadn't really been out there. So Chuma Adoga has played a lot inside at guard and with quite a bit of success. Ezra Cleveland back at the one guard. Robert Hainsey in there at center. So when you get McCurry back, Evan, you might have some nice competition for a couple of those spots there on the inside. And understanding you paid Hainsey what you did, you paid McCurry what you did in free agency for those guys to be starters. But Adoga, you know, you spend a little bit of money there, and Cleveland back, that could end up being a position of strength.
Yeah, I mean, the you know, best part about McCurry not being out there is they're going to have a really good idea of exactly where Adoga's at right now in terms of understanding, you know, this a new team, new offense, all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. There's there were reasons to like Ezra Cleveland and to think that, you know, maybe he also can, you know, take a step further, but at the end of the day, it's not, player last year. So if Adoga is, you know, kind of on a sharp upward momentum kind of thing, it could very much become his job, you know, by the time we get to September.
Yeah, Robert checking in here in the show chat. We appreciate that, Robert, as we're live here on Ryer on YouTube. Robert says, hopefully Walker Little is a game day lights are on left tackle. And I think maybe we're looking at those areas as being the bigger concern in terms of the big picture. Is Walker Little really that guy at left tackle? Sounds like Anton Harrison, after a sort of unenthusiastic sort of sophomore campaign a year ago, sounds like message received for the former OU standout. He's been better. Sounds like he's on his way to maintaining his spot on that right side at the tackle position. But hey, that goes back to Adoga's value too. Adoga's played left tackle in the National Football League. He's played across that offensive front. So in terms of guard and or tackle, you got a guy that can push pretty much everybody from tackle to tackle with the exception of center.
Which, really, I think it's been not just one, but maybe a get a roster spot. So it's a but hey, if for some reason Adoga's got to flip out there and make that.
Yeah, definitely a lot of value so far anyway, especially when you're talking about limited spots on a condensed roster like we have in the National Football League. Boy, when you have a guy like Adoga that can do that for you, and Makari who can jump between center and guard if needed, you feel good about really your first seven right now, including Cleveland in that mix as well. So related again to Travis Hunter and this early surge that we've seen for him, Evan, that wide receiver spot with Deami Brown being as advertised to this point, and Parker Washington too, continue to hear really good things about him. And you know, so when you get three or four guys deep right now, you're feeling really good. 5-6, that's where the interesting sort of scenarios could play out. Josephus a year ago, Joshua Cephas, a guy that a lot of people liked as a free agent type, didn't really have that impact a year ago. But look, Christian Kirk has moved on. Gabe Davis has moved on. Tim Jones has moved on. So maybe a little bit more room for a guy like that to make the roster in 2025.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and really it's that's another area that really for the Jags, even last year, we didn't feel as confident as we do right now, you know, in terms of the
Yeah, and I mean, special teams are obviously a part of all that too, with Parker Washington and his ability in that area. That's certainly got a lot of value for him, in addition to what he seems to be doing in terms of improving each and every practice as a legit third, fourth receiver type. But yeah, it makes you feel better about, you know, if you need to maybe do some other things with Travis Hunter, you can do that. Now, Travis Hunter at corner, that's where it gets interesting too. Jarian Jones, kind of like Parker Washington, seems to be making those strides as a young player at his primary position. So Jarian Jones showing more and more that he can play on the outside. Jordan Lewis coming in from Dallas is sort of that nickel, that slot corner. That seems to be going as planned. You're filling out some of those roles between corner and nickel that kind of ease your thinking in terms of, you know, whether or not you commit a lot to Travis Hunter on the defensive side of the ball, or do you feel you need to? I mean, I feel like going into camp, it would have been fair to think, hey, Travis Hunter is a 1/2 wide receiver, and he's a 1/2 corner. But Tyson Campbell, again, another one of those guys, you got to knock on wood a little bit when it comes to his health, because that's been an issue, Ev. He seems to be having a really good camp too.
Yeah, you know, it's energy, but it's, you know, night and day from what we've seen, you know, the past couple of years. When a guy's getting injured and he's not playing especially well when he's on the field, up for that guy to be up to be, you know, that guy. But, you know, that is kind of what, you know, talking quotes like,
we're going to work on that connection with Evan. Hope to get him back here real soon on the show. But, you know, Robert makes another interesting point here too. And the cornerback room has been the biggest improvement. Campbell has looked better than I've seen yet. And that's, you know, different system too that you're back into here. Maybe that benefits some of these guys a little bit more than some of the previous systems that they've worked in here in Jacksonville. Again, with Tyson, it's more about health than anything else after the last couple of years. And you bring in a guy like Levi Wallace, a veteran here in the last few days, kind of interesting. unfortunately, Buster Brown has been out and is going to be out for an extended period. So that may have something to do with that decision. Levi, a former Alabama standout, has bounced around the league a little bit, veteran presence there. A guy that, if nothing else, Trey Prince and some of these developmental type players that you have that you feel good about, can learn from a guy like that. Watch a guy like that. Jordan Lewis has had that type of impact, it seems like, Evan, in terms of intangibles and leadership. Eric Murray bringing some of that to the back end as well. So I think Robert, like some of us, are hopeful that what we see in camp translates. And again, sort of leaves open the possibility, if it does go with Jarian Jones outside, Tyson Campbell outside, Jordan Lewis inside, that you can be pretty picky, pretty selective in terms of your work rate, your usage, where Travis Hunter is concerned.
Absolutely. I mean, really, at the end of the day, you know, they've talked about it at length over the course of the offseason. You know, you want Travis Hunter to get reps everywhere. You obviously believe in his ability on both sides of the ball, but I personally think that the less you need him on defense, the better. That's a great thing if it works out like that. And you know, who knows if Levi Wallace comes in and it's kind of just a natural fit, you know, there might be a guy like Christian Braswell who better be looking.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Looking out, you know, or, yeah. You know, it'll be an interesting sitch. But, you know, I think it makes perfect sense adding, you know, between Austin Johnson and Levi Wallace, just, you know, because this is still overall, there are veterans on this team, but there's also plenty of young dudes that have a lot to learn. So those kinds of guys with that level of experience, whether it's for, you know, Mason Smith, Jordan Jefferson, or if it's for, you know, a Caleb Ransall or, yeah, Travis Hunter, it's always nice to have, you know, somebody that can add a little bit extra knowledge, a little bit, you know, perspective, you know, when yeah. You've got 6, 7, 8 years in the league.
Yeah, with Mason Smith on the pup going into camp and Eric Armstead not being a big part of this camp, I think that's where you maybe have your biggest concerns. Maybe the interior of both the defensive and offensive lines, although we were pretty optimistic about, you know, what they're able to do in terms of moving personnel around there between the guard and center spots. Are you concerned about that? Because Armstead hasn't been a presence because of apparently a back issue. And same thing for Mason Smith. Although, you know, so now you're looking at Davon Hamilton, kind of Tyler Lacy, those kind of guys. And Davon he's got a track record of success. And there's been some positive buzz where he's concerned in this preseason. But I would say maybe as much as anything, pass rush is where I would have the biggest concern with the situation being what it is right now. Give me Trayvon, give me Josh Hines-Allen on the outside. But I'm sure Anthony Campanile is thinking we need Armstead on the inside to kind of help us out from that standpoint.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate with Armstead because, you know, when they signed him, when Balky did his Balky machinations, you know, the injury issues had been a prevalent thing throughout his career. And I really feel like at this point, while of course I want Armstead on the field and I want to see him live up to his price tag, I just can't expect much right now. You know, like, I bet he can teach well. I bet there's definitely, you know, plenty of other positives other than, you know, just his play on the field, but really, I'm just not holding my breath at this point, which is why still, yeah, like we've talked about it, you know, before, the interior of the defensive line might be the biggest question mark on the defense right now.
And for me, especially from a pass rush perspective, where's that going to come from?
Yeah, interior wise, like interior push, collapsing the pocket. I don't know who's really going to be doing that. But, you know, just hoping, you know, at this point that, you know, you got enough time for Mason Smith to, you know, recover, get to 100%, and that also he's feeling good, I guess, about his comfort level and his knowledge of the new scheme. But, yeah, it's just a bummer that, you know, you're not getting to see him out there right now, as well as Eric Armstead.
Linebacker positions. Devin Lloyd sounds like he's still right there in the mix to go along with Foye Oluokun. Then you get into Chad Muma, Ventrell Miller, but then your guy, Jack Kaiser, is in that mix as well, the draft pick out of Notre Dame.
And you know what?
He's balling. Sounds balling like Jack's balling. Right, yeah.
My man returned a pick six.
Yeah.
This past weekend. So
that's what Jack Kaiser does.
You know, if you're wondering, you know, Notre Dame linebacker, he ain't got speed. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, he's taking it to the house.
So I'm gonna nickname him Blade, like a Kaiser Blade from the movie Sling Blade.
No, I that is cool though. I mean it's awesome. Again, really, I like Jack Kaiser. I don't know why I had an affinity for him, like the moment the Jags drafted him. But the fact that it's already looking promising is great. You know, I mean, it's rare that, you know, generally if a rookie or a draft pick like that is not doing well, it's just you don't hear a lot about what's going on. You're just not doing well. But if you're standing out kind of like what Kaiser's doing right now, I mean, if I'm Chad Muma, I'm thinking like, all right, I gotta find something over this next week or two. And, you know, especially against the Steelers, because I mean, they're in audition territory.
Of those guys, who's most vulnerable in terms of a roster spot? I think Kaiser's making the team. I don't think there's really any doubt about that.
I think
he is preferred, obviously, by this staff. I mean, they spent the pick on him, and between potential at linebacker and what he should bring to special teams, I think Kaiser's a slam dunk. So Ventrell Miller, Muma, of those three, is Muma most vulnerable, you think?
I mean, yeah, I would say so. You know, I could see Muma and Kaiser being the four and five, so to speak, on in that linebacker group, if they can pull that off, if they somehow, you know, have five spots for linebackers. But I think Muma, if there's an odd man out there, it's Muma for sure. I mean, it's just
Robert here agrees with you. Says Muma won't make the team. Lloyd looks fast again, and Jack
Thumper,
is a bumper. Well, he's playing coverage a little bit apparently too.
Yeah, Robert. Dude, this guy can do it all.
Ventrell can thump. Foye can thump.
Yeah,
Jack can
thump. I will say, in terms
of, you really need Lloyd off the ball to be what you hoped he would be when the previous regime spent the capital on Devin Lloyd a few years back.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for Lloyd to be like the off, you know, the coverage linebacker, that's really the key to all of this. Because don't get me wrong, like Oluokun's, you know, fine, but not the fastest guy in the world. Ventrell Miller's explosive. He definitely has a knack for making explosive play, but not necessarily as a, you know, as a guy trying to, you know, cut a route off. So if Devin Lloyd,
you know, I think Lloyd maybe played slower last year because maybe Lloyd was out of position.
Yeah.
Last year. And Foye isn't an off the ball linebacker. You know, maybe that had something to do with it last year too.
You know, there's still, the jury is still out in a lot of ways on this coaching staff, but there definitely does seem to be a bit more common.
Defensively, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
That it's a step up.
Yeah. It
interesting because you hired an offensive coach, and I still think that's where you're going to have some of your biggest question marks.
Yeah. There is still so much to figure out in terms of, you know, not just what it's going to look like, but, you know, I guess I have PTSD. I'm wondering what rotation looks like. Hopefully very little rotation overall, and just, you know, in the necessary spots. But I mean, honestly, I could just see a situation where, again, I said the phrase common sense. If it's just, a lot of times players, if they at least like see the logic of what you're trying to do, probably going to, you know, step up, find the role, do better. Whereas last year, it just didn't seem like anybody had any real idea of why the defensive rotation worked out the way it did.
Yeah. You know, and I know the Micah Parsons situation in Dallas has caught your interest, because as soon as it really started to escalate over there with Parsons and his contract situation with the Cowboys, you were hitting me up about possibilities of adding Micah Parsons. First and foremost, I think he's a Cowboy. I mean, we've seen this with the Cowboys in the past. Jerry Jones loves this. Like, if anybody thinks Jerry Jones doesn't love all of this talk and buzz about the Cowboys right now, they haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it with CeeDee Lamb, done it with a handful of players, Dak Prescott. He loves it. He loves the Cowboys.
They did it with Zach Martin. They did it with every single, basically every single.
Jarrah loves this right now. So Micah Parsons isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's going to be a Cowboy. But what if he did? Would the Jaguars be a legitimate option? And what would it have taken to lure Micah Parsons? I would think you'd have to maybe go player for player. The thing about Micah Parsons is that if the Cowboys really wanted to do that, which they don't, and he's a player and multiple first round picks kind of talent, because he's just 26 years old. I mean, when you think about pass rushers top to bottom in the National Football League right now, where's he? Top three? I don't know if he's Watt.
No, he's not. He's not above Miles
Garrett impactful. Is he Miles Garrett impactful? Different position, different guys, skill sets. But I mean, that is what we're talking about. That's the neighborhood that we're talking about with Mike.
Well, it's not just that, but Parsons has the shelf, like he's got an extra 5 to 6 years on those other guys.
26. So, Josh Hines Allen, for example, is 28. Which isn't mossy, but he's got a couple of years on, a couple more years on Josh Hines Allen.
No,
something like Hines Allen for Micah Parsons, you'd probably still have to sweeten it.
Oh, absolutely. You would still have to throw out like probably two or three high value picks. Probably a first is involved in that. You know, maybe the Jags obviously don't really have a lot of draft capital now after, you know, the Travis Hunter move. But it's a very fun thing to think about. It's a very fun thing to think about Parsons being on the Jaguars. I don't see a world in which, even let's say things go absolutely nuclear, and although the Cowboys are obviously planning on paying Parsons, they just it can't happen.
No.
I don't see a situation where you can't even go Trayvon for Parsons. It has to be JJ for Parsons, and that's it.
Robert, you know what Robert likes? I like this too, Robert. Not that it'll happen, but he likes Trayvon at 300 inside against guards with Parsons.
That's a beautiful.
Gosh, outside. He wants to keep JHA.
He wants to have his cake and eat it.
But you know what? Gladstone don't care about picks.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Go win. Go Super Bowl. Super Bowl right now. Super Bowl. That would be incredible. I mean, that's an amazing idea, Robert. I would love to see that. That being said,
I'd like to see Trayvon inside right now some.
Yeah.
But the problem right now is, who's your third edge guy that you would come with to go with JHA on the edge?
Well,
if you kick Trayvon inside, I mean, they don't really have a guy.
That's what's kind of funny is that with this like D-line group, I mean, if you think about it, Trayvon has the capability to do that, you know, to move inside if he needed to. But Eric Armstead, he's a tweener kind of guy, always been a tweener guy in the NFL. Dewan Smoot, also a tweener guy in the NFL. Tyler Lacy, also a tweener guy. So you've got a bunch of dudes that have played both on the edge and on the interior. But the problem is that none of those dudes are the type of tweeners that, are proven to get the job done at both spots. I mean, Trayvon's obviously been very good on the edge, but as an interior guy, still kind of a unknown quality, at least in a new, you know, kind of defensive scheme. So
I'd love Trayvon inside, but you don't have another edge. to go with JHA. That's where it would have been great if Devin Lloyd had some more Micah in him. And then in some passing situations, if you could have walked him up.
Yeah.
And played him out there and brought him as a pass rusher, you know, and come with another inside linebacker in some nickel and dime stuff. But right now, that's not – it's fun, though. It's a fun exercise.
It's fun to fantasize about, but the biggest issue is just, you would have to, like you said, it would be JHA, probably a first round and a second. And Parsons is amazing, but you would also still have to pay him, right?
Yes. So, and he's going to get, what,
45, 50? He's going 50. To probably become the highest defensive – He's probably going to get the biggest contract in, you know, for any defensive end since, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Probably Watts deal, I guess, but,
So
awesome we're about not awesome when you think about the realistic aspect of it, but
yeah, you just come with Dennis Gardette.
Yeah, exactly.
Dennis Gardette, the former Cardinal, you know, 6'2", 230, just bring him off that other edge. Hey, kicking it back to the offensive side and some of the scenarios for this offense and some of the things we anticipate in Liam Cohn's offense with the emphasis on physicality more and running the football and booing Trevor in that sort of former fashion. Bigsby at this point and ETN, or do you think, or you are envisioning maybe more of just Bigsby and then very situational with ETN when it really gets down to brass tacks?
So I think, you know, based on what we've seen, Bigsby's definitely kind of got the leading spot right now. He's kind of the front runner as like a starter, but even if he continues to break away and it becomes very evidently clear that he's the guy that you do want having the majority of the carries, I just don't see a situation in which ETN's still not doing 40% or 35% of the snaps. Like
60-40, something like that.
Yeah, just because at the end of the day, like, Bigsby's been good, but just based on the track record of the past couple of years, the explosiveness is also matched with some, you know, obviously we've talked about ball carrying issues, but just general consistency issues. So I just don't see a world in which the gap between the two can explode in such a way that ETN's like barely, you know, it's like such a clear cut. You're a backup. You're going to get four snaps or four handoffs a game, you know, whatever. I think they're going to give ETN every chance to stay as like a, you know, a 1B rather than a number two. But, you know, at the same time, Bashaul Tutton's getting back into the camp, getting healthy again. I would say probably.
Who I like who they brought in as an undrafted free agent is JaQuindon Jackson.
Yeah.
That dude last year at Arkansas, when he was well, he was hell.
Yeah.
And apparently he's had a few moments in this camp too. Now, Jackson ran 4.75 at the combine. So that's why he's where he is. But stylistically, what we've talked about in terms of fits in this offense, Bigsby stood out immediately when Cohen got the job. And, you know, it's going to be tough on Jackson to make this team because they drafted two backs ahead of him. But I like that pickup too, even as kind of their fifth back right now.
Yeah, no, 100%. They've got like a really good setup at running back right now because while obviously, you know, neither Bigsby or, you know, ETN are, you know, necessarily, you know, elite backs in the NFL. There are understudies underneath both of them that make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with Jackson and also, you know, Tutin is also kind of a natural backup, I would say, to ETN. So, you know, I do like that aspect. I do like that at the end of the day, should, you know, worst come to worst, which, you know, injuries at running back, and issues at running back has been something the Jaguars have been, you know, painfully familiar with over the past couple years. You've got guys that are natural understudies and should be able to slot into that role maybe a little bit smoother than in other situations.
JaQuindon Jackson is my Joshua Cephas, okay?
Yeah.
I'll die on that hill. for Jaquindon Jackson. Robert here in the chat says, yes, the DBs in camp didn't want any of that 240-pound Jackson smoke. He is, man. He's like 6'3", 230, 6'2", 235. I mean, which has something to do with why he runs 4.75. And I don't – where you run into a little bit of trouble, too, is even a guy like that, where does he fit maybe on specials? Because that's something you got to do as a third back, or – you know, how you're trying to make the team, but could be a practice squad guy, you know?
Yeah.
Cause you're going to have injuries at running back. We've seen it.
Oh yeah.
And if you got a couple of guys in your top three that have ball security issues on top of everything else, you know, that's some reason for concern too. Where are you at on Trevor? You feeling good about him at this point? You know, I said it earlier. It seems like it's been, and we've seen this with Trevor, saw it with him last year. I thought his start to camp last year was shockingly bad.
Yeah.
And understanding it was just early camp, but for a fourth year guy, it was an eye opener because I watched him a good bit in camp last year. Sounds like it's been more steady this time around. That may have something to do with the approach with this offense, probably not nearly as much being put on him. Although we've heard about he's getting two plays, he's got to make reads and get the team out of a bad play and into a good play. And, you know, those type of things. So from that perspective, there is more on his plate. You still wait and see on 16.
Yeah, you know, it has to be that way. I want to be optimistic. I want to, you know, just fully give in, but I just don't see how you do that until, you know, live rounds are being fired. Mm-hmm. You know, he definitely had a good weekend this past weekend, Friday and Sunday especially. Mm-hmm. Everything that, you know, I either saw or heard was, yeah, Trevor's looking really comfortable.
It sounds like Trevor, maybe more often than not, has been better than Brian Thomas Jr. in this camp.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been interesting. I will say is that BTJ's actually had a pretty quiet camp, like all in all, you know, some good moments here and there, but it feels like, you know, maybe it's just, maybe it's also just the eyes are on Trevor and Travis, you know, the dynamic building there and whatnot. But I mean, really I would say that, you know, if you had to rate Trevor's camp so far, I would say it's like a B+, mm-hmm. which is good. That's fine.
All you need.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be, if he set the world on fire in camp right now, like if he was just like perfect, I would feel the same exact way. I still wouldn't like just fully buy in to optimism there.
Yeah. Ryan Tannehill him up. I've been saying it for nearly a year now, and it sounds like at least in part, that's what we're seeing with this Jaguars offense. And don't ask him to be the entire centerpiece on a down in and down out basis. Anything else, Ev, before we get out of here live on a Monday afternoon in Duval, which thunder in the distance down here today. Nothing severe as of yet, Ev.
Well, it's an afternoon in Jacksonville, Florida in the summer, right? So it's going to rain. Not a whole lot. You know, it's just exciting, you know, finally, you know, football season's really, you know, upon us now. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been waiting for months and months. And as I've joked about previously, the Braves have given me no reason to.
They are the Bristol Motor Speedway world champions.
Yes, correct. Trophy holders.
Yeah, took a picture and everything.
That's awesome.
What?
That's cool.
I felt like one of those travel ball tournaments for 10-year-olds where they all get a ring, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, what's funny is that, you know, in soccer, they do that a lot too, where there's these all little mini tournaments that they'll play in Dubai or in, you know, the States or whatever. And they hoist a trophy that, you know, is made of plastic and has no meaning.
Yeah.
The only other thing I will say is, cool little thing the other day with Tom Coughlin, you know, they gave him a trophy for his, like, his pride.
Like
if you go look at the trophy though, I wonder if we could have maybe done a little more work because it's not a great look. And he, even if you watch the video, he makes a face at one point where he's just like, Yeah. What?
Like, where'd you get this House of Trophies off Beach Boulevard or something?
Yeah.
You
know?
This is what you give the Sanssouci Athletic champs, you know.
Well, and that's why generally trophies are handed out in, you know, August don't matter. So
you notice, though, TC, even for that, TC, one of his big things back in the day was no sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like coaches, staff, everybody at training camp, you did not wear sunglasses. Clear he still doesn't wear sunglasses. Maybe Baselli forgot that because I think Tony had sunglasses on. No sunglasses.
Son of a no.
Yeah, he probably made Baselli run.
The culture of this organization.
He probably fined Baselli.
Yeah.
made emeritus. Yeah.
But
emeritus.
Now, other than that, I think I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. How about Tex Tider checking in here?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Tex, we're gonna have some Bama talk on the channel tonight. We'll have Talk Inside with Chase Goodbread coming up at 9 Eastern. So, Tex, we expect you to report back this evening. But, man, it's been a lot of fun catching up. We'll do it again here real soon.
Yeah.
We've got the Steelers Saturday night. Drunkest Jaguar game I maybe have attended in the last 10 years was the Steelers preseason a couple of years ago here in Duval. That may have been the drunkest Jaguar game I've ever attended. It was preseason, and Duval was
no
in the bag.
Generally, the beers are a little bit cheaper in preseason. You know, it's
Uber, folks. Uber.
Less security. That flask can get through a lot easier.
Ride share on Saturday. Game. It's going to be toinked.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to decide if I'm going down to New Orleans the following weekend. I'm thinking about it.
Wow! Yes, yeah.
Just like, why not?
Isn't that like a Sunday afternoon game though? That might work though.
It's at noon.
Yeah,
I don't have to work, so I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you're off Sundays. Fly down there. Yeah,
hit the Caesar's Palace afterwards. Maybe.
I think it's an afternoon kick from the Superdome.
Afternoon kick into
Sunday afternoon.
And after they beat the Saints, I will go.
Yeah, they don't take Sundays off in the quarter. You gonna go to Harrah's?
Yeah, hit the it's the Caesars now. The
Caesars, okay.
And then after they beat the Saints, and I'm fully convinced that the Jaguars are going all the way, I will go place the mortgage on, you know, the 2001 or whatever the odds are right now, Super Bowl odds for the Jags. So.
Maybe go to Giacomo's. I think Giacomo's might be closed on Sunday, though.
I might have to stay the night then, which would be such a shame. Would be such a shame.
I have to get that alligator cheesecake.
So I can go to lunch the next day.
Giacomo's. Yeah.
Get some alligator sausage cheesecake.
Oh, wow. That stuff's so good.
I know.
Well, we'd like that for you, Ev. But regardless, we'll be back with you here real soon on the channel for No Sleep Teal, Ev. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. See y'all later.
For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. And until next time, so long, everybody.